Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our star this week is Dick Ryan. Remember the famous old Greek Diogenes, who traveled the world all of his life, holding his lantern in his hand and looking for an honest man? Well, I think you'd find one in our story this week, The Best Policy, written for Heartbeat. The honest man's name is Herman Abel, played by Dick Ryan. Let's hear his story as we listen to Act One of The Best Policy.
Hi, Fritz.
Hello, boys. So, what are you going to have?
A couple of bowls.
All right, here's your coffee. I left the chili and some fresh.
Pass me the sugar, will you, Mike?
Yeah, here you are. Oh, for Pete's sake, Herman, how can you drink coffee with all that sugar in it?
I like it. Nice and sweet, Mike. Always have, ever since I was a little kid.
Oh, 3 teaspoons is too much. Boy, coffee hits the spot. I'm about frozen.
Yeah, me too.
My rheumatism is bothering me too. I'm glad we only worked a short day.
Yeah, me too. Tell me, Mike, how much is 3.15 from 7.95?
Oh, about $4.80, I think.
$4.80 more, and I can buy those new shoes. Look here, Mike. Mm-hmm. And instead of laces like these shoes I'm wearing, these new shoes, you see, they got a strap that goes across the shoe with a buckle on the side. You get the idea?
Showed me 100 times.
See? It's good and hot. There you are. I'll be out in the back. Just call out.
This chili tastes good, don't it, Mike?
Yeah. Got a pile. Have a piece of pie, too.
Yeah, it looks good, Mike. How much does Fritz charge for pie?
15 cents.
Oh, 10 for Kuzaba.
45.
I gotta save up my money for my new shoes.
Oh, be quiet, Need Hyman. Get so tired of hearing about your new shoes. You've been saving for those new shoes for months now.
Oh, no, Mike. You see, my mind's made up.
Ah, you're a square, Hyman. Don't you know all you got to do to get a new pair of shoes is to ask Major Kermit? He'll get you some. That's how I get my shoes.
Major Kermit's a wonderful guy. I know that. But you don't understand, Mike. This is different. I saw this pair of shoes in the store window. You know that store over there on Spring Street?
Yeah, I know. Eat your chili before it gets cold.
I said to myself then, that's going to, I'm going to pay for them myself. I'm going to walk into that store and try them shoes on. Going to have the right size, you know, Mike.
Yeah.
When I walk in that store, that salesman will think, of course, the salesman won't say anything, Mike. They never do, you know. You never can tell about people.
About that guy in Balboa, California?
A billionaire who used to wear dirty sneakers. Dungarees and a faded T-shirt. Thought he was a waterfront bum. Till he reached in his pocket and pulled out a roll of $100 bills.
That's the guy. Old Malcolm Thornwalder.
Okay, so what's he got to do with you and a shoe salesman?
Well, you see, this is because of the way I'm dressed. But he won't think so after I buy that expensive pair of shoes and I pay him spot cash on the barrelhead.
Oh, Hyman, you're a dope. You've been trying to save up for those shoes for so long and you ain't getting anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Now, if you want them shoes so bad, why don't you do what I suggested? Tomorrow's set.
Ah, no, my bums anymore since we came to Harbor Light. Salvation Army says we're chained inside.
But it's so easy. Boys walking down the street for a quarter for something to eat.
I know, Mike.
Look, Herman, you know as well as I do, some guys clean up as much as $6 and $7 in one morning.
I know, Mike, but I can't do it. It ain't honest.
It ain't honest. Oh, brother, I give up.
It ain't, Mike. I've bummed for money many times, but I was really hungry. Really needed the dough. But that's different. But to go asking for a quarter for something to eat when I got $6 or $7 in my pocket, well, it just ain't honest.
Okay, Herman, forget the whole thing. Finish your coffee. Hey, Fritz, come and get your money. But just remember this, Herman. At the rate you're going, you ain't never going to get those new shoes. Fritz, how much we owe you?
Now, let me see. You eat that chili and coffee, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, that's 30 cents each.
Yeah, okay. Here's mine. Pay the man the 30 cents, Herman. Let's get going. Come on.
Hey, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. We owe more than 30 cents.
No, we don't. The man said 30 cents. He ought to know.
But it should be 40 cents. 20 for chili, and we each had two coffees at 10 cents a cup. That makes 40 cents.
Ach, yeah, you're right. You each had two cups of coffee. That does make it 40 cents.
Hey, here, 40 cents.
And here's another dime for me.
Hey, wait a minute, Mike. Wait for me. Wait. Mike. Hey, Mike, hold on a minute. Mike, what's the matter? Did I do something wrong?
Did you do something wrong? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to learn how this world operates?
Mike, are you mad because I told Fritz that he wasn't charging us enough?
Yeah, that's right. You catch on faster. All the time we're sitting in that joint, you're telling me how much you want to save money for new shoes. Then what happens? The first chance you get, you show how stupid you are. And you practically throw your money away. And mine, too.
But, Mike, it would be dishonest.
Dishonest? What do you mean, dishonest? A dime to you and me means a lot. But what does a dime or two mean to that cafe? You think Fritz will faint or get a stroke when he doesn't find our two dimes when he counts up all his money tonight? I don't think so, and I don't think it's so dishonest.
Mike, I'm sorry. I'm honest.
Honest. That's your trouble. You're too honest and you're stupid. Well, here we are, Mr. Honesty. This is the Salvation Army Harbor Light Center, in where it's nice and dry. If you know enough to come in out of the rain, you'll come inside, too, but I doubt.
Wait a minute.
Oh, leave me alone.
Hello, Herman.
Oh, hiya, Major Kermit.
Mike seems to be angry about something, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's mad, all right.
Well, he'll cool off in a little while. You'd better get out of those wet clothes. It's a nasty cold day.
Yeah. Started to rain awfully hard when we left Mr. Brown's. Major, I'm not very smart. I never was very smart, and I guess I ain't never going to learn anything.
Now, Herman...
Major, tell me the truth. Your ma and my ma kept telling us when we were kids to be honest. All the time they kept saying it over and over. Always be honest. Ain't that what they did?
Yes, Herman. We had good mothers.
Did we? Do you really think they were right when they said, be honest all the time?
They were right, Herman. Of this I'm sure, our mothers were right. Never stop believing that.
That's the store up ahead, Mike. We won't go in, you understand? We'll just look at the shoes in the window.
Yeah, we'll take a look at the shoes and then head back to the harbor light. It's chilly tonight.
But the rain stopped, Mike. I feel pretty good since we went to the meeting. The singing sounded fine and...
Yeah, and what?
And I'm sure glad you ain't mad at me anymore. You know, I don't like that when you get mad at me.
Okay, forget it. Forget what happened this afternoon. Now, is this the store?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the place. Now look over there, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
These are the shoes. Ain't they beauties?
Yeah, but these shiny black dress shoes ain't no good for working, Herman.
Oh, they ain't gonna be for work, Mike. These will be my Sunday shoes.
Herman, what good are Sunday shoes gonna do you when you ain't got the rest of the dress-up clothes to go with them?
Oh, once I buy them, I'm gonna take... And I'm gonna save up for a brand new suit, new... maybe.
Oh, Herman, you kill me. You've been saving up for new shoes for months now, and you still haven't got them. And now you say you're going to save up for a suit. Oh, that's the best joke I heard in months.
No, it ain't no joke, Mike.
Ah, come on. Let's go back, and please stop making me laugh. It hurts my back.
Well, you go ahead and laugh, Mike. I won't get sore, but you just wait and see.
Yeah. Go ahead. Dream on, old buddy. But keep your eyes open crossing the street.
You know how much money I've got saved, Mike? $3.50. All I need to get those shoes is another $4. Plus the sales tax.
Hey, what you turn around for? Hey, Herman, what are you walking back for? Going to go back and see if the man will give you credit? Oh, I see. You found something.
Hey. Look, Mike, I thought I saw something in the gutter when we were crossing the street. Look what I found.
Holy mackerel, it's a wallet. Hurry up, come on, let's duck in this doorway off the street here. Here, come on, open it up.
Okay.
How much dough is in it?
There's only one bill, Mike. It's so dark I can't read it.
Here, let me take it over here.
Is it a one or a five?
Ooh, jumping jackrabbits. Buddy, it's a 20. Looks like you're going to get them new shoes after all. Yippee!
That was Act One of The Best Policy with Dick Ryan as Herman. Well, the $20 bill was quite a find, wasn't it? I wonder what Herman will do with it. What would you do with it? Keep it? Even these days, $20 is a fair amount of money. It would give that already strained budget a nice boost. Or would you try to trace the owner and give it back, knowing that this was the right thing to do? Well, you and I know the answer to that one. We've been taught from childhood that there's a right and wrong way to do things. And you know, that's one of the Salvation Army's basic tasks, to remind us that we can go one of two directions in life, and showing us by example after example that only one direction is really worthwhile. The one pointed out to us when we were children, the one of honesty and truthfulness. Herman Abel knows this, and I think he'll prove it to you as we hear Act Two of The Best Policy, starring Dick Ryan.
Yes, Colonel. Yes, I'm just finishing the report. You should have it in plenty of time to present it to the board on Friday. Oh, well, we're holding our own, let me put it that way. Food prices, yes, they're up about 5% over last year. Well, it'll be in your office tomorrow afternoon. Mrs. Kermit will type it in the morning. Oh, she's just fine, thank you. We're looking forward to seeing you on Friday, then. Thank you, Colonel. Well, we'll see you on Friday. Goodbye.
Just don't bother to even talk to me anymore. You and I are finished.
Oh, Mike, I had a dollar. Don't be mad.
Oh, don't be mad, he says. Herman, sometimes I could just haul off and...
Mike, what's going on here?
Oh, ask him, Major. Ask little Herman. Ask the guy who had $20. $20 he needs badly. Ask him what he did with the money. But don't ask him while I'm around. I feel bad enough already.
Come on, Herman. Let's sit down in my office and talk.
I had to do it, Major. I knew it would make Mike mad, but I had to do it anyway.
Well, sit down, Herman. Now, tell me about the $20.
Well, we took a walk after the meeting last night, see, Mike and me, and on the way back here, I found a wallet, Major. It was laying in the gutter.
A wallet?
Yeah, that's right. It had a $20 bill in it.
I see. Was there anything else on the wallet? Identification papers?
Yeah. I noticed an identification card. I think the name was Stickney or something like that. Mary Stickney. It was a woman's wallet.
Go on, Herman. What happened next?
Well, me and Mike were glad we found the money. I had enough to buy my new shoes, and I promised Mike I'd take him out for something to eat. You know, sort of a kind of a celebration.
Yes, I see.
So we started walking toward the restaurant. Then all of a sudden... I don't know, I felt real funny.
How do you mean?
Well, you remember the talk we had, Major, this afternoon?
Yes, I do.
Well, I got to thinking that it would be dishonest to keep the money. Mike kept telling me it's finders keepers, but I don't know, I still felt funny.
Well, go on.
Mike kept after me to throw the empty wallet in an alley and get rid of it. I started to a couple of times, but, well, I just didn't.
You still have the wallet, Herman?
No, Major. I haven't got the money either. That's why Mike is mad at me.
Now, don't worry about Mike. You know he loses his temper, but he always cools off after a while. What did you do with the wallet and the money?
When we almost got to the restaurant, I saw this police car coming down the street. You know, sort of cruising real slow.
Did you think the police were looking for you?
No. Nobody saw me pick up the wallet. No one knew I had it except Mike.
Then did the policeman in that patrol car stop you?
No, Major. I stopped them.
You stopped the police?
Yeah. All of a sudden, I knew what I was supposed to do. I yelled to the police and waved them over to our side of the street. Major, it wouldn't be honest to keep that money, would it?
Not until you made an effort, a big effort, to see that it was returned to its rightful owner.
Well, I made that effort, all right. Mike thought I was crazy, but I didn't care. I gave the wallet to the police and asked them to find the owner.
Good boy, Herman. You're a good boy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Did you enjoy your breakfast?
Yeah, it was fine, Major. Thanks a lot. Come on, Major.
Herman, Mike, could I speak to you for a minute?
Oh, you want to talk to me, Major?
Yes, Herman. And you too, Mike.
Okay, what you want, Major?
Herman, how would you like to get your picture taken today? You too, Mike.
Who wants to take my picture?
A reporter from the Star News.
A reporter?
Yes, looks like you might both have your names in the paper. Reporter just called me on the telephone, asked me to keep you here until he drove over.
I can't believe it. I ain't never had my name in the paper.
What's this all about, Major? Sure don't make no sense to me.
Well, it seems that the policeman you boys gave the wallet to last night told the reporter what you did. And the reporter thinks it'll make a good story for his paper.
I don't like it. Come on, Herman, let's get out of here. Let's not have any part of this.
Why, no, Mike. Let's get our picture in the paper. Look, we'll post together like this. Mike and Herman, two good buddies. I think it's a good idea, don't you, Major?
I think so. I can't see any harm in it.
I think it's a good idea, Mike. It'll give us some prestige.
Prestige. Big deal. I know something we won't have, though. $20.
Ed, do you see it, Major? Are we on the front page?
I'm looking as fast as I can, Herman. These Sunday papers get bigger every week. Well, there's nothing but the news from Washington and the Far East on page one.
We'd probably be in the funnies. That's where we belong.
Nothing on page two. Ah, here it is on page three.
Sure enough. Here we are, Mike. See? There we are.
Yeah, what's the headline say? Our town's biggest jokes?
No. It says, Mr. Die. Oh, gents. Die. Oh, gents. Who is he? Probably one of them cops.
Here, Major, you better read this.
All right, Herman. Oh, the name is Diogenes. It says, Mr. Diogenes, you were born too soon.
I don't get it. Who is this guy Diogenes?
Diogenes was a wise man who lived long, long ago, who carried a lamp and looked in vain for an honest man.
They sure make it sound like a fairy tale. Now, what else does it say?
Well, it says, quote, Herman Abel, Mike Holtzman, both 58, flagged down a police car last night at 3rd and Main Streets around 9 p.m. They handed Officer R.J. Haley a wallet containing $20. I picked this up in the gutter, said Herman Abel. It isn't ours, so see if you can find the woman it belongs to. Officer Haley jotted down the two men's names and then asked for their address. Salvation Army Harbor Light Center, Abel replied.
Is that all?
No, Herman. Under the picture of you and Mike, it says, quote, down but not quite out, Herman Abel, pictured with his companion Mike Holtzman, held a $20 bill in his hand Friday night, the first time since he came to Skid Row. However, he didn't hold it for long. Abel, a truly honest man, asked the police to find the real owner of the wallet and $20 he found on the street.
Well, that's a good story, isn't it, Major?
Yes, I think it is. And it's a good picture, too. Yes, I'm very proud of you, Herman.
Well, I'm not.
You're not?
No. I think the whole town's probably laughing at you by now, because something's missing.
What do you feel is missing, Mike?
The reward, of course. Mary Stickney has her money by now. What do you got, Herman? Not even as much as a thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry, old buddy, but Mary Stickney and a lot of other people in this town are very likely laughing at you right now and naming you the city's biggest sucker. Okay, crown me, Herman.
Yeah, Mike. Looks like you're going to win another game of checkers from me.
Yeah, the game ain't over yet. Go ahead and move.
Mike, I've been thinking. The other night I promised to treat you to some eats, and then in the last minute I flagged down the police and gave them the money I found.
Ah, forget it. Your move again.
I disappointed you, Mike. You know, I'm sorry.
Forget it, I said. Crown me again.
Okay. There. Now you crown me.
There you are.
But what do you know? I finally got a king. Mike, I just don't want you to be mad at me.
Dear, I'm not mad.
I'm not going to be mad at you anymore when you pull these stupid stunts. It's your money. If you want to give it away or throw it away, that's your business.
Hi, boys. Don't tell me you're quarreling again.
No, we were just discussing about last night, Major. I pulled up a chair. This game is almost finished.
Yeah, I was just telling Herman that no matter what he does from now on with any money he earns or finds, that's his own business.
But sometimes you give me some good advice, though, Mike. Mm-hmm. I was never good at arithmetic.
I'm sure Mike will continue to help you, Herman. He's your best friend. Right, Mike?
Yeah, I guess so. Trouble is, you never take my advice.
I take your advice all the time, Mike. Except when you tell me to do something dishonest.
Dishonest? Well, I don't think it's dishonest not to pay for a second cup of coffee. Some places give it free all the time. Especially when the cafe owner is so rich. And we'd be starving to death if it weren't for the Salvation Army. Do you remember what Fritz said when you paid him?
No, I don't remember.
Well, he didn't say thank you. He just took the money and let it go at that. And that Mary Stickney never said thank you either. She didn't need her $20 as much as you do.
How do you know that, Mike?
That's easy. It was an expensive wallet. Only a rich gal would own a wallet like that.
I see.
So the rich cafe owner has our two dimes. And rich Mary Stickney has her $20. You, Herman, you got nothing. Not even a kind word.
I wish I could explain something to you, Mike. Oh, sure, it's nice to get a reward. But that ain't the most important. It's the Major, will you tell him what I mean?
I will, Herman, after a while. Right now, it looks like we have a visitor. A very pretty visitor.
Yeah, she is pretty.
Excuse me, boys. Afternoon, miss. I'm Major Kermit.
Oh, good afternoon.
Wonder who she came to visit.
Hey, so do I. Maybe one of the guys is a long-lost daughter, or maybe Mike... Say, do you suppose that
Mary
she...
Mary Stickney? Yeah, we'll soon find out. Major's bringing her over here.
Major, your Harbor Light is a wonderful place. Now, my dad says the Salvation Army is his favorite organization. He should see this beautiful place.
Well, thank you. We're very proud of it. Oh, Herman, this young lady wants to see you.
Me?
Yes, this is Miss Perino.
Perino? Oh, I thought it was Mary...
Stand up, Perino.
What?
Stand up.
Oh, yeah. Excuse my manners, miss. We don't get, or rather, I don't get many visitors these days.
I'm very happy to meet you, Mr. Abel.
And this is Mr. Mike Holtzman.
Mr. Holtzman?
Pleasure, ma'am. Well, I'd better be going.
Yes, and I'd better check in the kitchen.
Oh, no. Please don't go, Major. I'm only going to stay a minute.
Well, in that case, let's all sit over here in these more comfortable chairs. Herman, you and your visitor sit on the couch. Mike, you and I'll sit here. There now. Miss Perino, you have the floor.
Well, first I'd better tell Mr. Abel why I'm here.
Yeah. Why'd you come to visit me?
All because of your picture in the paper. Mr. Abel, I'm the private secretary of Mr. George Perino, owner of the Perino meatpacking firm. Mr. Perino is my father.
Oh, I see those Perino trucks every day. The white ones with the black lettering.
Yeah, I see them too.
Well, anyway, when Dad saw your picture in the paper, he said, Sunday or no Sunday, go down to the Salvation Army and see that Mr. Abel.
Why does he want you to see me?
Yeah, why?
All right, patience, boys. Miss Perino will tell us in due time.
Well, to make a long story short, Mr. Abel, my father wants you to come and work for him in the plant. He told me not to come home until you said yes.
Me? Work for your father? Just because my picture was in the paper?
No, because you're honest. There's no doubt about that. My father's very partial to anyone who is as honest as you are.
Your father must be a good man, Miss Perino. He feels sorry for me?
No, that's not it, Mr. Abel. He needs someone he can trust. Every year, I can tell you, thousands of dollars are lost to our firm because of thefts. Why? Because trucks come in and out at all hours, and because of the salesmen and meat cutters and other employees. Well, they're not criminals. They just can't afford steaks as often as they'd like, so... They help themselves every now and then. And we've had a few outside people break in on occasion also.
But how can I help? I know nothing about meat or bookkeeping. I'm terrible at figures.
Well, here's the proposition. Father feels that we should use security measures. You'll live on the premises of the plant. You'll be on duty from 5 p.m. till 1 a.m. And on occasion, if a truck should break down, you may be awakened in the middle of the night to open the garage door. Well, in short, you'll be the night watchman.
I don't know if I could do that or not.
The pay is $300 a month. You have Sunday off each week.
300? Mike! Major, what shall I do?
Well, the decision is up to you, Herman.
Major, can I speak to you in private? Please excuse me a minute, Miss Perino.
Oh, of
Mike.
Course.
We'll be right back, Miss Perino. Come on over here, Herman.
Major, it's been so long since I had a real job. You know what I mean? Well, I'm afraid. And I don't want to leave here.
Herman, if you don't want to take the job, we can keep looking for something where you can still live here. Now, the decision is entirely up to you, but don't turn down this job because you don't think you can do it. I know you can. You're much stronger than when you came here. Remember, one man with God is a majority. With him, you can make good in this opportunity.
You really think so?
I know it. You'll be more or less on your own, but I know you can do it. And you'll be a lot better off financially.
If it doesn't work out, I can always come back here, can't I?
You certainly may.
All right, then, I'll do it.
Good. Now let's tell Miss Perino.
Miss Perino, I think, that is, tell your father that...
What he wants to say is he'll take the job, Miss Perino.
Oh, good. Father will be very happy. Here's my father's card. Now, you report to work at the plant tomorrow night, okay?
I'll be there.
Wonderful. Major Kermit, Mr. Holtzman, it's been a pleasure.
Goodbye, Miss Perino. Miss Perino, you've made us all very happy.
Father will be happy, too. See you tomorrow night, Mr. Abel. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Miss Perino.
Bye.
I'll see you to the door.
Well, old buddy, I guess this is where you and I part company.
What do you mean, part company? We'll still be friends, Mike. I won't take this job. We still can't be friends.
Okay, Herman.
And when I get my first paycheck, I want you to come with me when I buy my new shoes. Then we'll go to the baseball game, and then we'll go
come
and
on,
see...
Come on, boys. It's time for dinner. Let's start walking toward the dining room.
Major, will it be all right if I come over and visit and play checkers with Mike?
Anytime, Herman.
Yeah, you hear that, Mike? Nothing will change much.
Yeah, I'm very happy for you, Herman. And I want to apologize to you and the Major. Yes, I'm finally changing my ideas about honesty.
I'm awfully glad to hear you say that, Mike. Come on now. Let's all go in and enjoy our dinner.
Wait till the rest of the men hear about my good luck.
They'll be just as happy as Mike and I are, Herman. This is really going to be a celebration dinner if there ever was one.
That was the final act of The Best Policy with Dick Ryan as Herman Abel. Be sure and listen in again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is one of the programs selected to be heard by our men and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening. And have a happy week ahead.